I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root artist feature. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with visual artist Peter Ferrari. Peter, how you doing?
Very well, Floyd. How you doing?
Doing very well. Glad to have you in today. You are an Atlanta native.
Yes. Yes.
What do you like most about being an Atlanta native?
Oh, wow. Well, I've been here since 91, so... You know, I was actually born here, moved around a little bit as a kid, and then came back when I was 11 years old. So I've seen Atlanta go through a lot. And, you know, maybe that's what I like about Atlanta, having the perspective and knowing where Atlanta has been, where it's going, I think gives me a certain ability to see the possibilities, seeing the malleability of Atlanta. I mean, that's a really distinct feature of Atlanta, I think, that there is this sort of plasticity here. Things are always in flux. Things are always changing, which is a really good opportunity or can provide some really good opportunities for creatives and developers too. But it's sort of you know, the rising tide raises all boats kind of thing. And I think Atlanta's been on the rise for a really long time now, and it's only continued.
So when you talk to other artists, especially about the sort of malleability of the city and the opportunities here, since you have been here for a while and you've seen it go through several different stages, what do you communicate to them as the core nature of that opportunity?
Well, I think... you know, right now we're seeing a lot of investment. So there's a lot of, you know, these mixed use developments and big stores and condos coming in. And so, you know, you're getting some pushback from that as well. And there are people looking to sort of direct some funds to less corporate enterprises and things like Forward Warrior, my mural painting event that has very minimal corporate involvement but has a very high impact in the community. and so I think I try to really highlight that there are opportunities still out there. There is a lot of money coming into the city, and it's up to sort of creative leaders in the city to determine how those resources are going to be distributed. And I think also just showing the more corporate folks and the big investors that Atlanta really values a certain bohemian aspect of the city and a certain sort of creative people. It's that we don't want a bunch of big box stores moving into, you know, say Cabbage Town or Castleberry. And so I think that the opportunities are there. It's just waking people up to it and making sure that they understand that they're there for us. You know, we just have to go out and get them.
Now, I also know that you used to be a Montessori teacher.
Yes, I did.
Let's talk about that. Yeah. What first attracted you, not just to Montessori, but to education?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was a Montessori child myself. And when I was about 24, I moved to Tallahassee, Florida. And there just happened to be a Montessori school down the road. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to go check it out. And wound up working there as an assistant for a little while. And, you know, over time, I kind of came around to realizing that if you're going to impact human beings, the time to do that is when they're young. And the way to do that, in my opinion, is through the Montessori method. It's a very scientific way of looking at learning. It's a very sort of research-based way of looking at learning. You know, the people who come out of Montessori wind up being more critical thinkers, more adaptable to different situations. It's not the sort of industrial model of education where, you know, you take kids and you fill them with information and then you send them out into the world. It's more about creating a sort of esteem and a confidence in your own abilities so that any problem that you're facing is going to be is not going to be too intimidating to start. And I think just in terms of wanting to get into education, I see a lot of problems in the world. I see a lot of things that make me, you know, upset about the world. And I think that we've failed our kids a lot. We've cut education every chance we get. And you know, you see the results of that. in our day-to-day lives as dealing with adults. And I think that if you can connect with kids and inspire them at a young age, that they're going to make better adults, which will in turn make a better society. So it's a little, you know, the goal is lofty, but I think that that was where I was at when I was teaching for sure.
So in your background as a teacher, and then of course with your experience as an artist, how did those two converge into what maybe became the seeds or the genesis of the Forward Warrior Project?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of thinking about that the other day. I think in a way, teaching just simply gave me the confidence to talk to people, you know, to be able to stand in front of 30 or 40 people, whether they're kids or they're adults or whatever, and have confidence in what I'm saying and have confidence that they will, you know, be inspired by what I'm saying. And so, you know, for a while I was just doing art and doing murals and things like that. But I wanted something more where I could kind of galvanize the community and sort of direct the community. Not direct the community, that's a bad way to put it. But give a focus to what we were doing. And I had seen some sort of, you know, political stuff happening and infighting and gossip and stuff like that. And so there was a big part of me that just wanted to squash all that and just say, hey, we're all in this together. We all are inspired by art. We're inspired by each other. So let's come together and do something specifically for the community that we can all be proud of. And so I think that's, you know, it does relate to Montessori. I think there's a real communal aspect. The environment's very important, and creating an environment that is nourishing to everyone is a common goal of both Montessori and Forward Warrior. So,
looking at how the arts are continuing to evolve in our community, and as they take precedence in how we view culture in Atlanta, even though the funding for arts education seems to be dwindling in many areas, when you have conversations with policy leaders, mm-hmm. or other people who may still teach or people who may have some level of influence within our local government, what do you communicate to them in terms of both the importance of the arts in a larger cultural sense, mm-hmm. but also from your stance as a teacher, former teacher, mm-hmm. But the role of arts in education?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think anytime you show someone a mural or you show someone, you know, on an even simpler level, just showing something that a person worked really hard on and seeing the fruits of someone's labor, you know, whether that is a mural, whether that is a beautiful song, whether that's a skyscraper, that inspires, hopefully will inspire somebody else to widen their imagination of what they are capable of. And that's where I think murals are just so valuable, because, you know, someone's passing that every day. They're seeing the end result. With Forward Warrior, they might even see the process that goes into it. And, you know, the kind of comments I get on Instagram and Facebook and stuff, it's all, you know, this is so inspiring. I'm so inspired. I haven't painted in a long time. And, you know, if it hadn't been there, they would have needed to go into a museum or go to a gallery to see that, and maybe even had to pay for a ticket to get into the museum. And I think that the artists that I work with all see part of their role as being an inspirer and being a leader and somebody who will influence other people. And so I think if I'm speaking to policymakers, there's almost unlimited potential in a mural. You don't really know what the potential is. It's certainly not going to be bad. even if they don't like the mural, you're going to have the community coming together, discussing something, fleshing out the way they feel about something, which I think is really missing in a lot of what we see today. You know, a lot of what we see is people arguing online or, you know, fighting over social media and just getting people together to discuss something that's common in their environment, such as a mural, is I think really valuable. And, you know, I just think we need we need role models for our kids. You know, we need some not even role models, but sort of action models. Like these are the kind of actions you can take in your life to really have an impact on your environment or your community or however that turns out for them. It's just something that I love, and I think that there is a very concrete effect on the neighborhood and on the community, which is part of the reason I do it for sure.
For our listeners out there who may not be familiar with Forward Warrior, mm-hmm. Talk about exactly the structure of what it is that you do and the scale with which you do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the scale has definitely grown every time. We started as just basically a live painting performance at Melvin Gallery, which is a small gallery that's actually where Lady Bird is now, right on the Beltline. And we had 12 artists, and you know, we had a DJ and drinks and stuff, and people just painted and danced, and it was sort of a party. And then, I guess it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, somewhere in there, I was contacted by some folks in Castleberry Hill, and they said, "Hey, why don't you come paint on permanent walls here?" And so we did three large permanent walls that year with, I think it was like maybe 20 artists, something like that. And the neighborhood really loved it. They had a huge, you know, a lot of people were involved. People were out. They were painting late into the night. And then we took the same idea to Cabbage Town on the very large wall on Wiley that CSX owns. And then it basically just turned into this, you know, big block party that now we're doing once a year. And we do it very cheaply. Basically all of the paint is donated. We have a small sponsorship from Sam Flax, but mostly it's, you know, latex paint out of people's garages and spray paint that they have had sitting around forever. And a lot of the artists bring their own supplies too. So it's very grassroots, very much about giving back to communities that have supported us in the past or that we feel need our help to have more public art. And it's also just about connecting the artists with people who might commission them, you know, so there is an exposure aspect to it as well.
Well, switching lanes just a bit, I do want to talk about your art. We haven't really talked about that since we've been here, but I think about the first time I actually saw one of your pieces. Actually, I think you had some pieces up in the West Side Octane.
Yeah.
A while back.
Yeah, it was like 2009 or something.
Yeah, and it's funny because I remember the artwork and did not know who you were. But then as I came to know who you were, I could see your style. And I said, oh, I remember I saw some pieces that looked similar to that in terms of aesthetic back in Octane on the west side over there. So talk about your aesthetic. And I feel like it's changed a little bit over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. You know, I first got into art basically doing graffiti back in the sort of mid-90s. And my mom obviously didn't care for that and got me some canvases and acrylics and stuff like that. And I started doing canvases. And then I started kind of blending some of the graffiti aesthetic with my more fine art stuff. And I did the sort of series of, like, people call them like the pipe pieces. And that was what I was doing at Octane back then. And that was what got me involved in Living Walls. But yeah, I definitely have a hard graffiti aesthetic, bold lines, high contrast, that kind of stuff. Lately, I've been trying to incorporate more representational elements. I work a lot with hands. That's something that's I'm actually have a series I'm working on right now that's going to be showing at Notch 8. That's all hands and sort of using them as a piece of the vocabulary about desire and about the things that we choose to sort of hold on to or the things that hold us back or impede us from, you know, keeping us from being happy, essentially. And I think, you know, I have a couple of different aesthetics going on right now, and that's one of the things I'm struggling with is how to prioritize that. My murals lately have been more about I think it's sort of like about energy and about these sort of explosions and things, you know, symmetry. It's really hard for me to describe sometimes my aesthetic because it does change a lot. And I might see something that really inspires me and I'll try to do a whole series just based on that. But definitely have been inspired by, you know, people like Sam Parker, who doesn't live in Atlanta anymore, but he's an amazing painter who I've always liked as a person as well. You know, Brandon Sadler is another one, and there's a lot of local artists who I've been able to work with who've helped steer me in different directions for mm-hmm. sure. But I also do a lot of sign painting and just sort of basic, you know, kind of corporate art, I guess I would call it. yeah.
Do you remember your first graffiti piece?
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell me about it.
It was actually it was on the you know, when you're coming down the Beltline and there's a bridge and there's a Hentz piece on one side and then Brandon Sadler, the big goldfish piece. It was under where Brandon's piece was. And it was, I'm not going to say what I write, but it was just a very basic, you know, two, three colors, just sort of straight letter. And yeah, I remember doing it. I mean, back then that area was like vacant. There was nobody out there. And I just remember painting under there and kind of keeping an eye over my shoulder. And I don't think you couldn't get away with that anymore. You know, nowadays I feel like that area is very well populated. But that was mostly what my graffiti was, is going to sort of safe spots and places where only writers would go. And, you know, I caught little tags and stuff, but my first piece was definitely down under there, probably like 97 or something like that.
Okay.
96, yeah.
And given that length of time between then and now, we've seen the rise and, in some ways, domination of social media when it comes to how artists are now presenting their work. Mm-hmm. So can you talk about how that has changed, how you perceive your work, how others perceive your work, and just how you're managing this social media environment that we're in right now?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's not something that I ever thought would matter that much, but I think it really does, actually, in terms of how people perceive you and perceive your worth as an artist, you know. And there's a lot of artists who are just, you know, completely obsessed with the social media aspect, and I think it's really tempting to fall into that. You know, it's tempting to sort of be like, all right, I got to get just the right picture and I got to post it at just the right time and make sure I get so-and-so likes or I delete it, you know. And I just am constantly reminding myself, like, look, you're an artist. It doesn't matter at all about social media. What matters is, are you progressing your aesthetic? Are you progressing your concept? Are there things that are changing within your work that are true to yourself? And so I think in a way, social media can really distract people. And it gives you this kind of quantitative way of deciding if something's good or not, which is really, I think, damaging to a lot of artists. You know, you might post a picture and it only gets so many likes and you say, oh, well, that's stupid. I shouldn't have done that. But the truth is that could have been a really great gateway into something new for yourself. So I'm always very wary of social media and I constantly tell myself that it really doesn't matter. And I think, you know, for me, the proof is that I can pay rent and I can feed myself and I can go have fun with my friends. And as long as I'm able to do that while doing what I love, then I consider it a success. And social media really is entertainment. You know, it's fun. And that's, I think, all it should be.
What challenges you most as an artist?
Probably just daily practice, you know, just because it's very easy when you do it professionally to just say, oh, well, I don't need to really push myself today. You know, I can hang out and watch Daily Show or whatever it happens to be. And I think having that discipline to just say, okay, I constantly need to be progressing myself. I constantly need to be pushing, like I said, that my concept and my aesthetics. And not always saying, okay, well, you got to pay me if I'm going to do anything. You know, that's something that I've struggled with more in the past. Nowadays, I feel like I kind of have a better understanding. It's been 4 years since I had a, you know, quote unquote real job. But nowadays I'm way more into the rhythm of the life of an artist. And yeah, I think it's always a challenge. But it's still the best life you can have. I mean, I love it. So
even when you talk about that daily challenge or weekly challenge, if you don't paint or draw for a few days, can you tell the difference in yourself?
Yeah. I think it, you know, it's my esteem, I think. When you sort of get down on yourself and you think, oh man, like, I got to force something out here, you know, because you don't want that. You don't want to have to force it. Because I tend to sort of work in, you know, sort of when it rains, it pours kind of thing, where if I have a specific concept or something that I really want to do, I'll sit there for, you know, 2 or 3 days and not eat enough and not sleep enough and just be working, working, working. And then on the other side of that, there'll be days when I'm just constantly racking my brain. Okay, well, what's the next move? What's the next step? And so that can be hard. I think especially in the day of social media, where there's this expectation, like, oh, you got to crank out a new drawing every day, and you got to have something cool to show the world, which is ridiculous. I mean, it's not at all about that. It's about, you know, really digging into yourself and finding what's good, whether or not it's, you know, if it's not there, it's not there. So you have to kind of go out and experience things sort of change the way you're looking at something and hopefully get inspired by that.
Now, with Forward Warrior, you are becoming more of an arts administrator.
Yeah.
Whether you want to or not. You are trending in that direction.
Yeah.
So as you think about that, and as you think about the notion of creating opportunities for others in this way, what has been challenging for you in that regard, in terms of managing a project and being responsible and accountable to other artists in that way?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, you know, when I started doing Forward Warrior, the whole idea of Forward Warrior, the phrase itself, was about moving past obstacles, fighting the things that are in front of you, and ignoring the things that are just in the way, you know, ignoring the things that are superfluous to your life, not getting involved in politics and name calling, and really, like I said, focusing on aesthetic and concept and the kind of things that really make you an artist. And so, you know, I have to sort of look at every artist that I'm working with through those lenses. And I say, you know, is this person, you know, they might be the most talented artist in the city, but, you know, if they're getting involved in all the muckraking and everything, it's that's not what I'm about. So I'm constantly having to balance, you know, well, what is the goal of my curation? You know, how am I curating this? Is it purely on aesthetics? Is it purely on their soul, you know, and the way that they look at the art community? And so I want to, you know, just make it clear to everyone that I'm working with, you know, what's my goal and what do I look for in the artist, so that they can sort of have an understanding of what I like in their work or in their personalities. And it's definitely been a learning process because it's not, you know, something that I was ever trained to do. But I think that people are coming around more to it, and they get it. They get that this isn't just about let's make pretty pictures. This is about let's highlight these individuals who are really pushing the scene forward without getting bogged down in all the BS.
You used the word muckraking, which I think is an awesome word. I think my U.S. Government teacher would probably be proud about that.
That's right.
But for those who are listening to this conversation and are learning about you and learning about Forward Warrior, how can they help? How can they get involved?
Yeah, well, that's something that I want to really focus on next year. I'm sort of toying around with the idea of reaching out to, I mean, I get a lot of people who want to help out, and I get a lot of emails just say, hey, just tell me what to do. And I sometimes can be one of those people who just says, you know, I want to do everything by myself. That way I know it's going to be done the way I want it.
Sure.
But I am going to be looking for volunteers next year. And I'll be posting all that kind of stuff on my Facebook and my Instagram. And what I think we're probably going to wind up doing is assigning an assistant or two to each artist. And then that will give them, you know, that give the assistant some experience in painting a mural and in watching the muralist work, seeing their techniques and being able to talk with them. And I think just connecting individuals who are at different stages in their career, I think is really important. And, you know, I'm looking at some of the, you know, I get contacted by a lot of like beginner like graffiti artists, people whose names I see in the street, you know, but they haven't gotten into the sort of legal realm yet. And so that's definitely a group that I want to reach out to.
when they reach out to you, the folks who are still on the other side of that fence, so to speak, and they say, hey, I want to be involved, or I like your work, or I like what you're doing. Mm-hmm. What is that conversation like with you and them around that progression to the legal side of things, if that's what they're really, you know, about?
Yeah, I mean, generally, the folks who are out there painting graffiti are artists, you know. Yeah. They are people who, you know, maybe are a little misanthropic, maybe are a little bit, you know, a little angry at the world, which we all get that way sometimes, myself certainly included. And I think when I was that age and I was younger, there was a lot of, you know, angst and, you know, screw the system, I'm going to go write my name on that. But like I was saying earlier, I think giving them a focus and giving anyone a focus, whether you're a, you know, a classically trained artist or you're a kid with a dollar can of paint, it's about, you know, what do I do with that energy? You know, and Atlanta has so much energy. We have so much of this almost pent up energy that's just waiting to sort of be directed in the right way. And the conversations are usually really, really productive. They're usually sort of intrigued by me because, you know, here I am, you know, and I have ex graffiti writers in my event, and I have people who, you know, they are aware of my past. And I think that, you know, they see that there is a path to legality and a path to sort of fame, if you will, that doesn't involve defacing property or putting yourself at risk. So I think figuring out who are the guys and gals who are wanting to do the right thing but just don't know how to do it, and don't know the right way to do it. And that's a big reason why I want to start bringing in assistance, because I think there's a lot of potential, a lot of energy that's, you know, probably not being used the right way.
Well, as we wrap up, you as an artist who works a lot in public spaces, also as a former, I say former, graffiti artist, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, just making sure. You definitely know a lot about Atlanta's spaces.
Right.
So what are two or three of your favorite spaces in Atlanta inspire you?
That inspire me, man. Yeah. Well, some of them are probably going to be abandoned places that I probably get in trouble for saying I've been to, but I'll say it anyway. I've been going and checking out the Morris Brown Stadium recently. From afar, I certainly don't go in there, but it's pretty amazing. There's been a lot of painting going on in there. And if you're looking for some good photographs, and you – I don't even know how much I should say right now, but I'll just say it's an interesting place to go if you are willing to go. I think that Cabbage Town is, you know, has always been this amazing anomaly of, you know, art and culture, and yet it still has, it's just sort of maintained itself despite all this stuff going on around it. I mean, you got Croc Street Market down the road, and then you have, you know, Croc Street Tunnel just further up the road, and they couldn't be more different, you know, as far as what created them. And then, of course, Castleberry is one of my favorite areas. I think, you know, obviously they had sort of some issues during the housing crisis, but I think they're kind of coming back more. And I mean, gosh, there's so many places in Atlanta, and there's so many places that not a lot of folks know about. You know, even just like the Mason Mill Waterworks, that was one of the first places I used to go paint, because you could just paint whatever you want, and nobody really cared. And there's, you know, there's a lot of places like that in Atlanta that if you're willing to explore and take some risks, you can find some really unbelievable urban spots here. So, yeah.
Well, Peter, as we wrap up, let all of our listeners know how they can find out more about you, your work, Fort Warrior, all of the above.
Absolutely. So I'm most active on Instagram right now. I'm at Peter Ferrari Art. I also have a at Forward Warrior account that's just for the event. I'm on Facebook. It's Peter Ferrari Art again. And if you want to email me directly, it's plfpaint@gmail.com.
All right. Peter Ferrari, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Floyd.